Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our message today is from Ezekiel chapter 17. That's printed for you on page 4 and 5 of our worship folder, if you would like to refer to it during the course of our message today. And with everything going on in the world and everything going on in our country, how long do you think the United States of America is going to remain a world power? You ever thought about that? You ever think the day is going to come when the greatest power, the greatest nation in the world will someday collapse? And I know most people will say, well, you know, that just can't happen, because we have the most powerful army, the most powerful weapons the world has ever seen. And we proved it time and time again. And though our economy has its ups and downs, we always bounce back, right? Bounce back from the Great Depression of 1929. And through all the various recessions that we've had, you know, while they may be difficult, we always bounce back, right? Even from this last one. Now, you know, people, the stock market is back up to where it was and even higher. The unemployment rate is going down. People's incomes are going up. They're spending more money. People have more confidence. But, you know, I think there's other nations, if you look at the history of the world, who felt the same way. You know, you go way back to ancient times, like the time of Israel. Israel was probably the most powerful nation in the world. And then after King Solomon died, the nation was divided, not quite so powerful anymore. And then the Assyrian Empire came into power and totally destroyed and deported the northern kingdom. That the area was, the Assyrians were then conquered by the Babylonians. The Babylonians were then conquered by the Medo-Persian Empire. The Medo-Persian Empire was eventually conquered by the Greek Empire under Alexander the Great. And then that was all conquered by the Roman Empire until the Roman Empire self-destructed. And then even in more modern history, do you think Germany ever thought that it would be destroyed as it was marching across Europe? Do you think the Soviet Union thought it would ever collapse? Do you think the Japanese Empire thought it was going to be conquered when it dropped those bombs on Pearl Harbor and a sleeping giant was awoken? They all thought that, right? We're the most powerful nation in the world, and no one can ever conquer us. When Ezekiel prophesied to the people of Israel, that's exactly the way they felt. First of all, they thought, we are God's people. And there is absolutely no way God is going to let us be conquered by Babylon. There's absolutely no way God is going to allow the city of Jerusalem to be destroyed. And there's certainly no way that God is going to allow that magnificent temple that Solomon built to his glory to be destroyed. Even when it started happening. You know, the Babylonians actually started attacking the southern kingdom of Israel in 605 BC. And they carried a lot of people and deported them back to Babylon, and including Daniel and the three men in the fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Ezekiel himself was deported in 597. But even then, they didn't think it would happen. So King Hezekiah said, you know, I'm going to go make a treaty with Egypt, and between our power and Egypt's power, we can defeat the Babylonians, but God had other ideas. And in 586 BC, the Babylonians came in and totally destroyed Jerusalem. And the splendid Temple of Solomon was set on fire and completely destroyed. And the sad part is, it all could have been avoided because God told them why it was going to happen. It was because they were no longer worshiping the Lord. They were worshiping idols. They were no longer following God's commandments. They were no longer observing the Sabbath days and the other festivals at the temple. They were no longer giving their tithes to the Lord, their offerings to the Lord. They had totally turned away from him. And God said, if you continue to do that, I'm taking this all away. And he did. But in the middle of all of that, God sent the prophet Ezekiel, the son of a priest, who was deported to Babylon, to give them hope and good news. Because God had promised them that 70 years later, after the fall of Jerusalem, he would allow them to come back. And while they didn't become a great nation again, he would allow them to come back, rebuild Jerusalem, rebuild the temple, and begin worshiping the Lord again. This is Ezekiel's message. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will take a shoot from the very top of a cedar and plant it. I will break off a tender sprig from its utmost shoots and plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain heights of Israel, I will plant it. It will produce branches and bear fruit and become a splendid cedar. Birds of every kind will nest in it, and they will find shelter and shade in its branches. What's he talking about? Well, he's talking about that return. The tender shoot from the top of the branch, that's the people coming back to Jerusalem. The sprig that is going to grow and sprout is the people that came back, and what they did is they came back for a specific purpose. And granted, sometimes they lost sight of that purpose, but the reason God brought them back was so that they could rebuild Jerusalem, so that they could rebuild the temple, and so that they could start worshiping him again. And the question is, why would God do that? Why would God do that for a people that had turned their back on him? And the answer is pretty simple. First of all, they were God's people and he still loved them. And secondly, God had a promise to keep. God had promised throughout the entire Old Testament that he would send them a savior from their sins. And nothing was going to stop God from keeping his promise. Even though the people of Israel did not keep their promises, even though they turned his back on them, God was going to keep his promise. And God's Old Testament people recognized this not only as God's promise that he would allow Jerusalem and the temple to be rebuilt, but it also they looked at it as a promise of God fulfilling what he said he would do and send a savior. And they recognized when God talked about that sprig from the top, that tender shoot, that he wasn't talking just about the kingdom of Israel being restored, because it never was. He was talking about the kingdom of God being restored. And that's what God did when he sent Jesus. Jesus is that little sprig that he sent as a baby in Bethlehem. And Jesus died on that cross to forgive us our sins. And the entire New Testament church, the Christian church, began to grow and began to flourish. And you notice what Ezekiel says. He says, all the trees of the field will know that I, the Lord, bring down the tall tree, make the low tree grow tall. I dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. All the powerful kingdoms of the world, you know, the green trees, the strong trees, God says, you know, those will all be destroyed. But the little one, God's kingdom, the kingdom of believers, is going to grow and it's going to flourish. And isn't that exactly what's happened? You know, you look back in history, and I recounted some of it, and you can think of others, right? The sun never sets on the British Empire. It does now. But all of those kingdoms have come and gone. But what is still here? The kingdom of God, right? God says kingdoms will come and go, but his word endures forever. I asked you before if you thought, how long you thought the United States would continue to be a world power. I guess there's all kinds of answers we could have for that. But if I asked a different question and said, how long do you think the kingdom of God will endure? How long do you think the word of God is going to continue to be preached? And we have God's promise, right? That his kingdom will never end. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will never pass away. And when Jesus comes again, when this world as we know it is completely destroyed, and by the way, it's not going to be with a nuclear war, global warming, or some other man-made catastrophe. It's going to be when God decides and he sends Jesus, and everything in this world is destroyed, the kingdom of God on earth simply becomes the kingdom of God in heaven, right? Our place in God's church on earth simply gives us a place of God's church in heaven. It must have been just a devastating time for the people of Israel. When those Romans came into Jerusalem and destroyed their place of worship. And remember, there were still some faithful people there. How do you think they felt as they're back in Babylon and word comes back and says the temple has been totally destroyed, there's nothing left? Or even worse, how do you think the people who were trapped inside Jerusalem felt when they saw loved ones die and the temple of God being destroyed? It had to be devastating. Now, I can't believe that it's been 14 years since 9/11 and the World Trade Center towers fell. But most of us here are old enough to remember that, right? What went through your mind when you heard that news? And if you were like me and had the opportunity to actually watch it live on television, what went through your mind when you saw those towers collapse and all that dust and debris flying? And how would you have felt if instead of being the World Trade Towers in New York, it would have been the Willis Tower and the Hancock Tower here in Chicago? And you woke up in the morning with all that dirt and dust and covering your home, your car, and your yard. It makes you wonder, doesn't it? Is anything safe? Is anything secure? When it comes to things of this world, the answer is no, it's not. it's not safe and it's not secure because it can all pass away. And when Jesus returns, it will pass away. What's the only thing that's safe and secure? It's the kingdom of God, right? It's the love of God. It's the love of Jesus. The only thing that you and I can be absolutely sure will never pass away is God's word and the promises it gives us. Ezekiel talked about the promised Savior God would send. We look back to the Savior and the fulfillment of that promise. And we look to that baby in the manger. We look to that cross. And we know God loves us. We know Jesus died for us. We know our sins are forgiven. And we know heaven is ours. And that's all we can be sure of. That's all we can know for sure is the love of Christ, the forgiveness of sins, and our eternal life. That's the good news that Ezekiel has for us. And that's the good news that we celebrate at Christmas. And that's the good news that we share. Amen.